The New Testament Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. If you have not yet done so, then please stop the video and read the text in your Bible. An analysis of the Greek text provides us with the following outline related to the mind-body connection. Chapter 7 posed this problem. I serve God's law in my mind, but sin's law in my body. Chapter 8 provides a solution to this problem. First, God does not condemn Christians. Secondly, you Christians are not required to live naturally. Next time we shall deal with 3, we suffer with Christ, that we may have glory with him, and nothing can separate us from God's love. A more detailed analysis will be reflected in our comments on the text. First, God does not condemn Christians. Verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. By law here, we mean not the written code, but the way in which things work. For example, the law of gravity. This law of the Spirit, of course, comes only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas sin and resultant death comes through our personal disobedience. What does this have to do with weakness? 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Likeness meaning, of course, that he was just like us, even though he did not commit a sin. Sinful here meaning able to sin. Sinful here meaning able to sin. And the particular sins is our sin, not his. In the flesh modifies the verb to condemn. Well, what does this have to do with walking? 4. So that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God's written law is just. We're talking here in particular about the moral laws, not the ceremonial law. Thus, the law is the written code received in Scripture, and to walk then is our daily behavior, according to the Spirit, that is, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We spoke of the moral law. There are several categories of biblical laws which include the ritual or ceremonial law involved with sacrifices and temples, civil law, how citizens must treat each other, criminal law, what to do with violators, family law dealing with marriage, inheritance, and the like, and then social and ethical law, how we must treat each other. These laws are often categorized by Jewish tradition into 613 commandments, divided into 248 commands and 365 prohibitions. And what does this have to do with death? 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Two ways of thinking, two ways of living. Verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh results in death, but to set the mind on the Spirit results in life and peace. The mind then, including both a way of thinking and the content about which we think. The opposite is life and peace, that is, spiritual health with contentment. circling back to issues of money, power, and respect, verse 7, for this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Hostile, in other words, antagonistic, and to submit, meaning to obey willingly, not from fear, and those who are in the flesh, a present tense, habitual reality. To please God, of course, is to meet what His law requires. Well, we now have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Yes, our body still must die. For one person to be in another means to be united with a bidirectional relationship. And the Spirit gives life because of righteousness, that is, because of Jesus Christ's righteousness. 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through His Spirit that dwells in you. Yes, God raised Him physically from death, and He will give us life. This is a logical future, meaning it begins now. Even while we are still in our mortal bodies, that is, still able to die, pre-resurrection, and the Spirit then is God granting us His inner presence and power. So what does the Spirit allow us to do? Point number 2, Christians do not live naturally. What do we mean? Verse 12, so then, brothers and sisters, we are obligated not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, then you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. To live begins now. This is a present tense verb. It's how we live habitually. It is our duty to overcome sin and death, but only by power given through the Holy Spirit. Well, what does this have to do with fathers and children? 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive it a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, to be children of God gives us rights of access into His presence, and we no longer fear. Rather, we bravely ask God for His help, and we are adopted as His children, meaning we are appointed to future glory. The term Abba is from the Aramaic language and simply means the Father, not Daddy. What does this have to do with the reading of a will? 16. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we in fact suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Yes, this witness from the Holy Spirit occurs hour by hour, every day of our life, and we are His heirs. What then will He do for us? And what does it mean to suffer? Well, suffering used to make us angry, but now it gives us hope. By way of summary, in Romans 8, 1 through 17, the Holy Spirit dwells in and with us. He frees us from the sin to death law. He makes us alive with Jesus. He constantly reminds us of who we are. He leads us into truth, to obey, and to serve. He suppresses our sinful nature. He enables us to obey God's moral laws, and He prompts us to call upon Him as Father. Before our next session, please read Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 39 in any version of the Bible, asking the Holy Spirit to grant you insight and understanding, and note down what you learn. Apply this to yourself and to your family, and pray for each member of your study group by name. Also pray for this teacher's loving wisdom, asking God to multiply your study group, new attenders and new groups, and visit our website at http://romans.forum.